Where were you when I needed you? Didn't say a word, but your actions speak volumes. Oh, 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 baby, I'm not looking for love. I'm looking for some action.
The Dolly McCarthy Show is brought to you by Pope Family Dental, your family dentist around the corner at Centennial Beach on Jackson Avenue in downtown Naperville. Pope Family Dental has been providing gentle dentistry for 15 years and accepts most dental insurances. Pope Family Dental is veteran-owned and veteran-friendly, and this month of November, they are celebrating Veterans Day all month long with a 20% discount to those veterans without dental insurance. The Dolly McCarthy Show is also brought to you by DuPage Credit Union. Now through November 23rd, help DuPage Credit Union feed our hungry neighbors when you donate food items at any one of their convenient branch offices. Groceries collected during the community food drive will be donated to the Northern Illinois Food Bank and used to help support local shelters, soup kitchens, and other charitable organizations. Stop by a branch office or visit DuPageCU.com for a list of items needed. That's DuPageCU.com. JWRuleLandscapeServices.com. The Dolly McCarthy Show is also proudly sponsored by JW Rule Landscape Services. JW Rule Landscape Services can serve you by creating and building a landscape that fits your house style and your lifestyle. Jim and his team use their years of experience, knowledge of plants, and formal training to complete your desired outcome. Whether it's a large project or, my personal favorite, fairy garden, you will notice the difference. The Dolly McCarthy Show is also sponsored by Belgio's Catering. They're located in Naperville, and they put the special in special events. Stiefel Nicholas, helping people manage their money and investments for over 100 years. Fast Signs Naperville, Sullivan's Steakhouse in downtown Naperville, featuring delicious mouth-watering steaks and tasty sides, along with the Dolly Teeny. Body Brown Sunless Spa of Naperville, the only way to tan. Naper Settlement, right in the heart of downtown Naperville, where history comes alive. Mad Landscaping, let them take care of all your fall cleanup. Arthur Murray Dance Studio in Naperville, now in Oak Brook. They didn't invent dancing, just the best way to teach it. And, of course, last but not least, what's at the end of the train? The trolley. The Naperville Trolley and Tours. Hop aboard beautiful trolleys for weddings, bar hopping, bachelorette parties, holiday lights tours, and more. It's always more fun on the Naperville Trolley.
I feel good. I knew if I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. So good. So good. I got you.
It's the Dolly McCarthy Show.
I love my aunt Dolly.
And I love you too, Jakey. Hey, everybody. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Dolly McCarthy Show on Internet Radio, the good show, I like to call it, that airs every Thursday morning from 9:30 until 10. I am your host, Dolly McCarthy. Thanks for tuning in to the good show, where every week I bring you good topics to discuss, good news, good guests, and at least one good laugh. And I also welcome your calls. I hope I have some time today to take some calls, for sure, because I am going to give away a book today. A book that's hilarious. You're not going to want to miss this book. I'm going to have these two authors on my show a little later. We're giving away spray tans at Body Bronze on the Spa in Naperville. And we're giving away Dolly McCarthy Show mugs. So tune in. Give a call. I'll try to get to your calls. But if not, always go to my Facebook page, The Dolly McCarthy Show, and like it. And any new likes, they're definitely going to be in the pool to get some good new free stuff. Or you can also put a message on the wall. Do a shout-out. Whatever floats your fancy. We got a lot of good guests today, as I said, and we'll get to all of them soon. But first, you know, this is the Dolly McCarthy Show, the good show on Internet Radio. And indeed, it is a good show. We like to talk about good things. How about that big win last night for NIU? Such greatness I was watching, and great publicity for NIU, my alma mater. For sure, the best is yet to come. NIU is going to kill Western Michigan, and I predict we'll win the MAC championship in Detroit. So after seeing last night, my goodness, they clearly are the best team. A big bowl somewhere. What do you think? Fiesta Bowl? I am definitely going, well, I shouldn't say definitely. I always have to have a little percentage of maybe not in there because, you know, I have five kids. There's things that come up, people, but I have tickets. I'm going to Tuesday night's NIU game. Who's going? Maybe we should carpool. Maybe we should caravan. Let's plan something. If you're going, give me a call or post something on my Facebook wall and let me know. And let's plan to go Tuesday night at NIU taking on Western Michigan. Unbelievable game last night. Congratulations to all my Huskies out there, and we're looking forward to more good times to come. You guys are awesome. Let's see. We're going to skip over the Bears this week. We had an eventful weekend, for sure, at least I did, and I know many of you did. Last Friday, I was so very honored to go back to my alma mater, Mother Theodore Guerin High School, which is now called Guerin Prep. They invited me over for career day, and I was so taken by these young ladies first of all, they were so beautiful, inside and out. They were so respectful. There's like 60 of them in the auditorium at Garen. It's so funny. When I walked in that auditorium, I expected it to look a little smaller. Remember, you know how you go back to your childhood home or maybe even the school you went to as a kid. Everything seems so much bigger when you were a kid, of course. But then you go back and as an adult and you expect it to look the same, but it always looks smaller. Well, no, not the case at Mother Garen's auditorium. That thing is still so massive. But that room was half full of girls, or I shouldn't say half full, about a quarter full, about 60 girls in there. And I was so honored to talk to them about their careers and being a leader, being a woman, and just being an overall good person in society. And I got some really nice Facebook messages from the girls, so it made me feel just wonderful that I was able to share with them. And I was just so impressed with the Garen Prep facility. It all looks the same, but they've merged with the old Holy Cross High School, and it's now called Garen Prep. I'm just really proud. It's about 494 students currently there, as opposed to I think it was like 2,000 or 3,000 when I was there. But that's the way things have been going. Tuition there is, the girls tell me, it's about $10,000 a year. But that's about the same for St. Pat's High School, too. A lot of people still, a lot of kids and families, alma maters, still going back to St. Pat's High School. And it's nice to see Garen is still hanging in there. But $10,000 a year, my goodness, I was telling the girls in the auditorium how I remember going into the registrar's office and making my monthly tuition payment. Yeah, I had to pay for my own high school tuition all 4 years. I paid for that. Well, you know, I was one of 14 kids. My parents couldn't quite handle it, but it wasn't so bad. I worked part-time at the Plaza Pizzeria, and threw pizza dough in the air. I can do that. One of these days, I'll show you. I'll show off my pizza skills. But anyway, I worked at the Plaza Pizzeria with my sister making an hour minimum wage. Yeah, don't look up the year that was. But I was able to make my tuition payments every month. One month I was short, and that wasn't pretty. But anyway, the great thing about Garen, though, let me just say this, is the cafeteria is the same. But the best thing about it, not because the cafeteria is the same, but they still have those big, warm chocolate chip cookies. If you're not from Garen, you don't know what the heck I'm talking about, how amazing these were. But we all used to have breakfast, and that was our breakfast, the warm chocolate chip cookies. They were humongous, and they were a quarter each. And so I went in the cafeteria. I said, "Do you still have those cookies?" And they're like, "Oh, yeah." She brought me one out, and I, like, woofed that thing down, and it tasted the same. I couldn't believe it. It tasted the same. Nothing changed. And it was still gooey and raw in the middle, but it was so good. It was so good and worth it. And then she says to me, "Well, Dolly, that'll be $1. I'm like, "What?" It was only a quarter when I was there. It's $1. So I took about 9 to go, shared it with my kids, and I've had a very good breakfast for those 3 days following the speech. Okay, enough of that. Those are all good things I want to throw out there. And then, after Garen, I got to say something. I cannot forget this. Oh, my goodness. This is like the big news. I might sound like a braggart here, but I'm really not. I just got to tell y'all, I never take a vacation. I haven't taken one in about 4 or 5 years, so please do not think I'm bragging about this, but I had one night I was a guest at the Kohler, the American Club, the Kohler Experience, the spa up in Kohler, Wisconsin. They invited me up there to experience it, and I'm here to tell you, it was amazing. One night, 2 days, I felt like I was there a week. So much rest and relaxation, and the spa experience was unbelievable. So I'm definitely going to let you all know about this place. I did spend some time, too, shopping, a little bit of shopping, and met with some representatives from the Kohler family, and they invited me to the Cravier. It's a chocolate shop. Oh, my goodness, unbelievable chocolates. They have something called a Terrapin. If you've ever been up there, anybody been up in Kohler at this resort, they have these Terrapins. They're unbelievable chocolates, like a chocolate and a salted pecan and kind of like a smoky burnt caramel. It was out of this world. Then they have these things, these chocolates that look like jewelry, diamonds or rubies. And I almost hesitated to pop that thing in my mouth, the ruby one, but because it looked like a real ruby. It's unbelievable. All these chocolates are made by hands. They gave me a, and had a nice dinner in the Wisconsin room. Great fish. I had some perch. Can't remember the name of the other fish I had, too. Nuts, but it was one I have never had. But anyway, wanted to tell you about that experience. I'll talk more about that because Kohler's going to be one of our sponsors of the Dolly McCarthy Show, and they're having a great gingerbread festival from now until December 29th, and you don't want to miss that. It's only a three-hour drive. It really was a nice drive. It wasn't bad. They're going to have gingerbread creations at this gingerbread festival, gingerbread cookies, complimentary, and, of course, hop, skip, and a jump from the world-famous Kohler Spa. It was just unreal, you guys. You have to experience this. In the women's locker room, I have to tell you about this. In the women's locker room, there was these two pools in there, and I thought they were jacuzzis. Well, no. I got down in one. I jumped into one of them. It was ice-cold water. They tell me that was the plunge. So I took the plunge, and then you jump out of that, and then you jump in the warm little pool. So they're very small, or, you know, like kiddie pools. Well, a lot bigger than that, but that was hilarious, jumping in that cold one. But it was truly an unbelievable experience, and I wanted to share that with you. But don't be jealous, because you can go, and they have great rates right now, so you can call up the American Club. I'm going to give you the number right now, and you can ask for, you can even ask for Leslie. She is the one that, she's amazing over there. She's in charge of all the promotions of the resort, and she was just fantastic and kind of pointed me in which direction to go. You can call for your own experience, Kohler Spa experience, and the number is 1-800-344-2838. I had a great time. My goodness, one night felt like 2 weeks. Okay, let's move on here. Let's go back Sunday. You know, I try to talk about good things on this show, and this is a good thing. It was a horrific thing that happened first, but since that time, lots of good things have come out of this. The storms, the major superstorms they have that rolled across the Midwest and just, you know, destroyed parts of our state and parts of other states. The tornadoes, there was about 50 reported tornadoes on Sunday. So the Midwest really got slammed, and dozens of Illinois towns, right in the heart of Illinois too, particularly near Peoria and Pekin, Frankfort, Coal City. One of the hardest hit towns was Washington, Illinois, and where a tornado touched down and just destroyed things. And so this town has been just devastated by that Sunday storm. I don't think we'll all forget where we were on that day. Of course, many of you guys were probably watching the Bears or waiting for the Bears game to start. I was at work, CLTV, getting ready to go on the air and report about all these storms. So we'll never forget that. And our hearts are with all of those families. Our hearts and our prayers are with all of those residents and people impacted by the storm and tornadoes and the lives lost. But the devastation is just overwhelming, particularly in this Washington, Illinois. And my friend, Bob Niemann, was at home. He saw what happened. And this is the kind of guy that you want as a neighbor and a friend, because whenever there's trouble, Bob is one of the first guys I know to spring into action. And he's on the phone right now. I've invited him on to talk to us about kind of what maybe what all of us were thinking, what went through his mind watching this, and what made him spring to action. And he's going to tell you about what he did. Hey, Bob, are you on the phone? Are you there?
Hi, Dolly. I am.
Bob Niemann.
How are you?
I'm doing great. And how are you? I hear you just got back from Washington.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Dolly. Yeah.
So tell me, Bob, what was happening on Sunday over at the Niemann House?
Well, we were hanging out in our second living room in our garage watching the TV and, you know, and watching the storms. I mean, I have children. I was worried. There were some nasty storms coming through. And, you know, I heard about the tornado touching down. And as the reports went on and finally some footage came in of what happened in Washington, I was just really shocked. The area, the actual touchdown area, was just flattened. I mean, there was nothing left.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's like 800 houses gone in a matter of seconds. Unbelievable.
And so I said to my wife, I said, you know, maybe we should go down there. And, you know, initially I'm thinking, you know, I'm a contractor, so I'm thinking, you know, maybe people need help. Maybe I should bring tools and saws. And, you know, so we had to kind of act quick, and I got some stuff in the truck, and I went and I got a bunch of water, and we drove down, and I was
when did
really
you drive
surprised.
Down? What
I
day
drove
was
down
that?
Sunday night.
Sunday
about
night,
six
you
hours.
Guys, you and Cheryl. Cheryl is Bob's wife.
Cheryl didn't come with a neighbor. A neighbor drove down with me, but Cheryl helped us get ready to go, and we were there about 6 hours after the tornado hit, and I was really surprised by the emergency response teams that were down there. There were hundreds of fire trucks and ambulance, and we got down to the police station, and basically it's all we could do that night was go to a fire station and drop off everything we had, and they didn't need us to help. They were keeping everybody out of the area, so we couldn't go in and help in that respect. But what I did find out was that they were going to need a lot of things. That was a lot of people who lost their homes and everything that they owned. So we came back.
Did you see any of the devastation of the
wreckage?
I did
on the second trip. On the second trip, we went down the night before last, and a whole bunch of people, we put some stuff out on Facebook, and a whole bunch of people stepped up to the plate and brought just a bunch of stuff to my house, food, water, clothing, jackets, blankets. And so we packed the truck, and we drove back down, and I went back to the police station, and it just so happened that the mayor was there, and I got to meet the mayor, and he introduced me to a couple of people, and he had one of his people bring us over to a place to unload all this stuff. And as we did, we drove right down the street where the tornado had went across, and it was it was quite emotional, quite shocking to see what kind of devastation happened down there.
Yeah, I can imagine. Now, Bob, I know that you're going to be collecting more items needed, not just water and gloves and hats and coats. You're now looking for things to help rebuild. What are the specific items you need?
People from
Washington have asked you for these items, right?
Yes. I spoke with them down there last night because we're going to make another trip down Friday night. And he told me last night that They're pretty good now on clothes and water and food for the time being. He said maybe a little bit down the road they would need more water and food, but right now the outreach has been immense. But he said they did need all kinds of things to help with the cleanup and with getting things covered up. So he was mentioning things like rakes, shovels, tarps, work gloves, nails. You know, anybody that feels like donating can do Home Depot gift certificate, Menards gift certificate, anything to help these people get that area cleaned up, houses that were partially destroyed, get them covered, you know, boarded up. So we are going to, I was able to secure a big trailer, and we're going to have a couple of drop-offs today and tomorrow. And we're hoping that the community will step up and help us fill this trailer up and my truck up again, and we'll go back down Friday night and try to bring them what they need.
Bob, that's fantastic. Okay, now let's give the specifics. Listeners, listen up. The Dolly McCarthy Show listeners, you've come through before, especially with that school supply drive we had back in September. We need your help. Please stop by and see Bob Thursday, today, between 11 a.m. and 3, and then tomorrow between 2 and 6. At 6 o'clock, he's heading to Washington, folks, with hopefully a trailer full of these items that are needed. And you can drop them off at – where can they drop them off, Bob?
We're going to drop them off over at Club Reps, which is a Naperville gym. And the address is 2760 Aurora Avenue. and we'll be parked right out in front of Club Reps in the parking lot. I mean, it's going to be a big white trailer, and there will be people at the trailer to help, you know, get this stuff out of trucks and out of cars and onto the trailer. And anybody that comes with a full truck or a full car, I will twerk for free. I will twerk. Okay?
Oh, Bob.
Free twerking today for anybody that really steps up to the plate and helps us here.
All right.
Yeah, we'll be there today and tomorrow, and we're hoping that we can help them out and make one more trip down there, and then okay. if they call us back, you know, down the road, need some more food and water. You know, it's something, you watch these natural mm-hmm. disasters happen on TV all the time, from the tsunamis years ago to the Philippines, and other than pick up the phone and donate some money, you don't really feel like you can do much. And I guess I was moved that this was so close. I mean, these are our neighbors. These are our fellow Illinoisans mm-hmm. that live close enough that we actually can do something. And
you're
that's
so
why
right.
I was moved
yes.
to something.
You feel
you know,
so helpless when you
neighbors.
Hear about – yes, and you make the point very clear. You feel so helpless. You hear about all these disasters even in our country, in the southern parts. It's hard to get to. It's hard to imagine. But here, it's so close to home. And like you said, it's a quick drive down there. And it's something that we all can take part in. And thank God, Bob, you're setting this up. It's really cool. Bob Neiman, who's the owner, by the way, of RNC Construction, I'll point that out. Go to Club Reps Gym. It's 2760 Aurora Road in Naperville. It's a strip mall right next to Menards.
Right and, next to Menards. They go in the Menards and get a gift certificate and come out and stop by the trailer.
Today and
be fantastic.
Tomorrow. Thanks so much, Bob. And be safe
Dolly,
driving down there. Please give them... All the best, and I know the mayor wants to send a message to them, too, so maybe touch base with him, Mayor Pradel. You're
you
awesome,
it.
Bob.
Thanks.
Drive safe.
Thanks.
Okay.
Thanks, Dolly.
It's the Dolly McCarthy Show.
All right. Thanks so much, everybody, for helping Bob out, the people in Washington, Illinois. It's going to be a tremendous effort, and we appreciate you guys taking part in that. I got a call here with a number I don't recognize. Say there, you're on the Dolly McCarthy Show. Who's this?
Hello, Dolly. It's Darlene Singer.
Is it Darlene Singer?
Yeah.
Darlene Singer. State Representative Darlene Singer's on the line. Good morning to you, Darlene. Welcome to the Dolly McCarthy Show. This is your first time on, isn't it?
That is true. Thank you. And you do have the good show, I tell you. You do a great job.
Thanks so much. Darlene and I, we were with each other Saturday night at the Rally for Ryan in Naperville. That was an event to bring awareness and raise funds for research for Duchenne muscular dystrophy. And Darlene Singer, our state rep, is there every year. And it was great to see you, Darlene. And you and I run into each other here and there, and you were telling me about this disability transition. Oops,
right.
Sorry about that. There was a little beep there. It's the Disability Transition Forum, and you were telling me all about it. And Darlene was so excited about this. She had so much passion and excitement for this. She really believes in this cause. And I said, we've got to talk about this on the show. So I invited her on. Let me just tell you a little bit quick, Darlene. I'm going to let you talk, I promise. But she's on the Pension Conference Committee in Springfield, working her tail off for the last couple of years, trying to bring pension reform to our state, which we need so badly. But she's also running for U.S. Congress. And I just have to throw that all out there for you, Darlene.
Thank you.
Welcome to the show. Okay, let's talk about the Disability Transition Forum. What exactly is this?
You know, this is something that I've been doing for several years. This is my third time putting the program on. One of the things people don't understand, our area here, we have the biggest percentage of kids with autism in the entire state. And that's not a bad thing. That's a very good thing because our schools
are really
good. DuPage
County? Really?
Well, basically District 203, 204.
Our school district? Wow.
Yes,
I had no idea. Very. Okay.
Yeah, and we do. Our community is just so wonderful when it comes to embracing all our kids. And that's why this is such a nurturing environment for kids, not only with autism, but with that, you know, with special needs in all kinds of cases, whether it be their, you know, IEPs or whatever. And the thing that we do very well on the school district level, and we do very well in regards to transitioning kids out of high school into college, But what happens to them when they turn 22 is very difficult because there's not a lot for them after that. And what I'm trying to do is to make parents aware at a young age, around when their kids are like 9, 10, 11 years old, aware of what happens when your child turns 22 and what you need to think about in order to prepare them for adulthood. So we have a panel that comes in every that talks about the transition program from high school to college and then into full workforce, life as an independent for hopefully for many. And we bring in specialists who talk about special needs trust. We bring in individuals that work for the state of Illinois that can help parents kind of wind through the process they have to go through to get support. And we bring in organizations such as Ray Graham and Little Friends who provide support for adults too. So it's a great program, and again, it's just to get people, parents just start thinking, what happens when my kid does turn 22? A lot of information on what you need to do with how to get insurance, whether you should apply for Medicare or Medicaid, and it's just a vast variety of information for parents who are always stressed already. So it works really well. Yeah,
right, I imagine. So let's talk about, like you said, Tier, I've seen it myself, does a phenomenal job in supporting the children that are through the system with disabilities. But after 22, about that age, is when do these families find that? Go ahead.
Yeah. What happens when the child turns 22? They're out of the system where, the educational system is providing for them. And that's when they're on their own. So the goal here is to achieve independence. So where do you live? How does one find work? How does one find transportation to get to work? Are there township things available to get them to and from? Are there states, cities that can help them with transportation? It's just there's a lot of you're kind of safe cocooned in the educational process, but once you hit that adulthood thing, it's a different world. And you just need to be, ready to know how to prepare for it. And the other thing we do, which is really nice, we bring in parents who have had successes with their kids transitioning into the adulthood situation and give their stories and pretty much give tips on here's what you need to think about, this is what I did. One of the things that are very hard for parents to do is setting up a special needs trust, which pretty much you want your child to be independent, but then you should also, you have to think through, you should have a guardian there to say if something does happen to the child, that individual can make decisions. So it's stuff like that we talk about, yeah.
How difficult is it?
I'm proud to say that doing this program, I started it in 10, the community got involved, where we actually now are aware, our chamber and our school districts and Edward Hospital and the rest, we're becoming more cognizant and aware that, hey, we need to employ these kids. So that happened too, which I'm glad for.
That was just what I was going to ask you about jobs. Is it difficult for companies to, are you finding them, they're obviously, there's a bunch out there. I've seen at Jewel Osco even, they hire a lot of young adults with disabilities there. Are these companies now becoming more receptive to hiring these young adults?
Yes, they are. And what they're finding, and every situation is unique. You got to get the right fit with the job, the company, and the adult, the young adult. What they're finding is that these young adults are wonderful employees. They're hard workers. They're conscientious. They get to work. I mean, it's just everything's a plus, so they love their job. So, yeah, that awareness is out there. The other thing that companies are offering now, too, and again, each situation is different. Many times you have a coach that goes in with the young adult to help them, kind of adapt to the work environment. So there's a lot of positives. But businesses are finding out that's, from an economic perspective, it's a really good thing to do. And there's more and more individuals, looking to say, hey, I'm looking for this type of person to work for me.
Mm-hmm. And does this forum meet regularly?
Yeah, we put it Yeah, I've done it. We do what, like a form about once a year, and what we're planning to do in the spring, and this is with my district director, Sarah Murphy, we're going to do probably a fair where one could come in and meet the various organizations. So if you have a specific question in mind or need in mind, you can get some more one-on-one time with that individual. Bringing in, this time we did this, we brought in someone from, it's PACT, it's the state provider. Steve Bussey was the one that came in to talk about, you know, a lot of things that the state of Illinois offers, but what you have to think about ahead of time. There's a list of, it's called PUNS, it's funds list for, there's a list of people that are looking for services from the state, but the list is huge. It's about 10,000 people, and you can only get about a couple hundred on per year. So he kind of navigates one through that whole process, which is helpful and good to know. But we're going to do this. We're going to do something in the spring again. Yeah.
Okay.
Good stuff.
Okay.
We've got a great community.
And for our listeners who are interested in learning more, Darlene, where can they go to get more information or call?
Yeah, the best place to go is go to the State of Illinois website, and if you go, if you look in there and you look under on the side, you'll see the category for you know, for disabilities, and you can get a lot of information there. The other thing to do is that you can, if you look at my state representative website, you can always contact me there too. And again, Sarah Murphy is my district director, and she helps. The two of us put this program in and coordinate this every year. So that's another really good place to go to get help.
Well, that is such, you know, for those families going that have a child with a disability, this is such a relief for them to know that this is out there, the support is out there. And my hat's off to you for starting this, Darlene.
Oh, thank you.
Great.
Yeah, it's just it was one of those things where that's what we do as state representatives. You know, we're there to basically help everyone. That, you know,
I bet you're feeling like you've made some progress. Well, how do you feel about the progress being made with the pension committee down in Springfield?
Oh my! Oh my! You know what, Dahlia? I'm glad I'm basically one of the front and center individuals on the pension problem. My career has been in pension consulting, so I was definitely a natural go-to to help craft the solution. I have to say the work group, the conference committee did a very good job getting off the stalemate we had in the spring between the Senate and the House, and that's what a conference committee does. It puts the two together to come up with something. So we worked arduously all summer, worked well together. In August, September, we got to the point where we were like, you know, we went as far as we can go. It's time to get the leaders involved, which means now we have to get the votes on things to make them happen. So that's why the leaders have been in process. But boy, Dolly, this is, you know, we're doing more. This is the first time that individuals are working together, not walking away from the table, and actually coming up. They're serious about getting this done. And we have to get this pension problem done because we can't get anything else done until that is accomplished. And that's what I'm hoping here before the end of the year, that we finally pass something so we can move forward.
Oh, yeah.
$5 million
a day. Isn't that right, that we're losing
out? It's $5 million a day. That's the interest on the unfunded liability that sits out there, which is, you know, just think what we could do to help kids with disabilities with $5 million a day.
Imagine that.
So
if that's not a crisis right there, I don't know what you call one.
It's a crisis.
And we can't afford to keep, you know, kicking the can down the road on this. How likely is it going to happen? I mean, talk about pension reform has been really strong in the forefront for the last 3 or 4 years. And we always think this next session, it's going to be the next session. And it's just not happening. I don't get that. Every day, $5 million. I just can't believe the amount of money we're losing. Why? What is it that's keeping this from
happening?
Place? What is
you know, that? It's what it is, and it's a tough thing to do because you have retired teachers and university employees retired, and there's a lot of fear out there that I'm not going to be able to live in my home anymore, or I won't have my pension, and you know that fear is really it's an illusion that's wrong, because we're not trying to take one's pension away. We're going to have to just the cost of living adjustments that they have right now, which is a 3% compounded per year, because we just can't afford that. But we want to make sure that everyone, you know, has a pension until they no longer need it, and their survivor has it too. So it's just tough, because you've got some state representatives and senators that have communities such that are in, you know, basically their whole community is University of Illinois. And, you know, there's a lot of people pushing back on them to say, you can't do this, you can't do that. So it's just a hard thing to make happen. It's going to be one of those situations where, you know, if everybody's unhappy about something, then we probably did the right thing and we'll, you know, move this thing forward. And I think that's what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. No one's going to be totally happy about it. The other thing, it's a balance between, you know, who pays for this? Is it a benefit reduction, or is it the taxpayer dollar? And that's mm-hmm. the struggle. It's mm-hmm. such a big problem. It's a hard thing to accomplish. But we know what we need to do. Now it's just a matter of getting the muster up there to put the vote on it and make it happen.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it's going to happen in the next session?
I think I'm hoping it happens in December. And that's the first time
December.
I've said that.
Okay.
I've always been the one where everybody
spring,
says
actually.
Something to go. Yeah. No, I'm hoping it happens in December. Yeah. Up to now, I said, I'm not sure. But this is the first time where I'm looking at it and saying, I think we're going to do something in December.
Well, you ought to know. You're right there in the heart of it all, working diligently to hopefully make real progress towards reaching this compromise here. And hopefully we can. So what do you think the state will do with the first day after pension reform, when we have that $5 million in our pocket? What do you think the state's going to do with that money?
Well, we won't. This is what will happen. We won't have the $5 million in our pocket right away, no matter what we pass.
I'm kidding.
Most likely, it'll be challenged in court. Someone will take it to court to challenge it, and that's the constitutionality piece. So it won't happen immediately. But what will happen is that the bond houses will look at us and have a big sigh of relief. And say, okay, Illinois, you are moving in the right direction. And that's going to save us some money right away, too, which will be good.
All right. Darlene Singer, our Illinois state rep, who is now running for U.S. Congress. And I'm almost out of time, but just tell me, how is everything going with the campaign for U.S. Congress?
Oh, thank you, Dolly. You know, you're speaking of Washington, and I didn't come back from Washington, Illinois, but I just came back from Washington, D.C. yesterday, which I had a first round of meeting people out there, and it's, oh, my gosh, it's going good. Dolly, I'll share this with you. I feel so proud to even have my hat in the ring. This last round in November, we lost a lot of good women on the Republican side, including Congresswoman Judy Biggert. So they're really trying to get, you know, skilled, accomplished women back in again. And I met some wonderful ladies over there that are just unbelievable when it comes to, you know, not only their ability to basically lead and nurture and bring people along and the rest, but just their ability to pass legislation and the rest. So good stuff. Really good crowd out there.
Yeah.
Good thing.
Well, Darlene, it's just amazing to see how far you've come. I remember meeting you, I can't remember how many years ago it was, but I remember knocking on your door because I actually lived in your neighborhood, and I was knocking on her door about, I think it was neighborhood parking.
I
when
think
Darlene
you're
was
right.
A city councilwoman.
Yeah.
Yep, and now look at you, heading hopefully to Washington. So best of luck to you. Thank you for taking the time out to be on the show today.
Thank you, Dolly. You have a great, like you do have a good show. Thanks for all you do.
Thanks so much. All right.
Okay.
It's the Dolly McCarthy Show.
Hey, everybody. You're listening to the Dolly McCarthy Show. We're moving along here today. And trying to get two guests on the line. Here we go. Yep, think we got them. They've written a book called, believe it or not, ready for this one? This is hilarious. When I heard the title of this book, I thought, I got to talk to these ladies. They sound really fun. And it's called, not that I partake in something like this. It's called, I Got Drunk at My Baby Shower. Hold on, there's a subtitle here. Our Successful Surrogacy Story. Susan Bowman is on the line, and Heidi Thompson are joining us now to talk about this new book. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning, Dolly. This is
Hi,
Susan.
Good morning.
Okay, we're not quite sure who's who. Because we're
this
on the
Susan.
Radio.
Right? This is Susan Bowen, and it's very nice to meet you. Heidi's actually in Rhode Island. I'm here in, actually, Woodridge, so local, but I'll let Heidi introduce herself, too.
Hey, good morning. Fantastic to be with you guys. Good morning, Susan. Good morning, Dolly.
Okay, who was the surrogate, and who was what do I say, the...
The intended parent was me.
I don't want to offend anybody, the mom.
Oh, no. I was the intended mother, the intended parent, and
Heidi?
Heidi was the surrogate, yes.
Okay.
We got an opportunity to meet. Gosh, it's been now 7 years. And it's been a fun journey just having known each other for as long as we have, but part of the genesis of creating this book has been our retelling our story separately while we were living in two different states. We both were experiencing such inquisitive and just so much of an interest in our journey that we thought,
maybe it's time to write a book.
Yeah. Well, how did this start? Were you two friends? How did you become the surrogate, Heidi?
No, actually, I was at a place in life where I was looking at a way to be home a little bit more with my own children, and just something that I had heard about years prior, and revisited the idea, and I actually signed on with an agency, and as crazy as it sounds, almost like a Match.com, we were created profiles, and it humbles me that Susan calls me her angel.
we were working with
Susan, let's hear your story. How did this the journey begin for you?
Actually, at 29, I had a hysterectomy, just a partial, so I was able to keep my ovaries due to having cervical cancer, and so just kind of put away the thought of having that ever be a part of our lives. But then we were talking to others going through fertility stuff, and, you know, we thought, well, maybe the surrogacy thing would be an option, and it's a very... There's a lot of information out there and a lot of fertility options, and so we kind of wanted to zero in on the surrogacy thing, found a consultant who would actually consult with many agencies across the country because each state has different rules, and 7 years later, I'm sure they're even more different. And so in that regard, she was able to give us profiles from across the country. Heidi was one of the first ones we read. And read about like 9 or so more after that and came back to Heidi. There was just some sort of feeling off of the paper, if you will, that we thought it was going to be the angel to help us out. And in the end, she did. So it worked out.
And she carried two boys.
We went through actually 3 rounds of in vitro and obviously putting the embryos into Heidi. And on the 3rd try, we put in 3, kind of put all of our eggs in one basket, so to speak. And came out with twin boys, Peyton and Jordan, and they just turned 5 in September.
Oh, my God, I love the names.
See?
I wonder who they're named after.
Yeah, right? They're Walter Peyton and Michael Jordan, of course, but yes.
Two superstars, and they probably are, in their own right, Peyton and Jordan superstars to this day. And they're, how old are they now, 5, 7
yeah,
years
they
old?
Just turned 5 in September. So, yes, as Heidi said, we started this journey, you know, 7.5 years ago with me contacting the consultant. And, you know, after 2.5 years of trying, Heidi got pregnant successfully. And then here we are with 2 very healthy, very happy boys. And they know Heidi, and she comes to visit. And we're all kind of an extended family at this point. So it's been a wonderful journey.
The kids call you mom, right? And what do they call Heidi?
They call her Matant Heidi, which is, I guess, correct me if I'm wrong, but that's like a French, Heidi's
perfect.
From Rhode Island, so Matant means my aunt, if I'm not mistaken.
Aww,
so
it's
they
an
call
endearing
her
term,
Heidi.
That's what I'm accustomed to. Yeah, that's what I've called all my aunts.
Oh, that's very sweet.
It sure
what was it like when you first met each other? Did you know instantly then, Susan, this is it? Just kind of like love at first sight.
There were some phone conversations that happened first, and her husband, Rusty, was probably the more talkative out of the two of them, and it was kind of funny because I was the more talkative out of Jeff and I. And so we'd had a couple of calls, kind of introductory calls, and you feel like it's a dating service almost at first because, you know, what do you ask, what do you say, you know, those sorts of things. So over the phone, we had a few conversations to kind of seal the deal, like, yes, we're interested in doing this for each other and with each other. And then right before we did kind of our first round of medical stuff in the city of Chicago, we met Heidi and Rusty in person, and I thought for sure I would break her in two because I hugged her so hard. But I just, you know, it just was, it's amazing to come to meet the person who's actually, you know, said, yes, I'll do this for you. I'll help you complete your family, even though we hadn't even started. You just, I mean, that's such a giving thing to do. And so, and there are many people out there, and again, not taking anything away from Heidi, who are willing and do this. And we thought it was a little bit timely with the book being released. You know, a lot of celebrity surrogacy stories have been coming and, you know, more and more in the news. And we just hope that obviously people are accepting it more, but that people hear about it more because it really, there are successful stories, and we just wanted to share ours.
Is that the message you're hoping to get across with this book, that there is hope and you want to bring that understanding, get people to understand with surrogacy? Pardon?
Yeah, one of the many. It seems that our story, when we do look back on it, even though we lived it, when we worked together to just relive and retell our tale, we realize there's so many facets. And what I like is while we were on hold listening to your show, we were hearing the guests that you had prior, and I guess it was hitting me that I love that it seems like just society on a whole has maybe made a movement a little bit, or we're trying to be a part of a movement to, okay, there are problems out there, but let's start focusing on the problem. How about we start bringing a little bit more focus to what about solutions? And I think that's what, you know, let's focus on hope. Hope for, you know, Susan being a cancer survivor. Part of that is a component of our story. Just being a message of hope. Everybody has their trials.
And during the retelling of the book, retelling of our story through the memoir, I mean, and I think Heidi could probably agree with this, it became emotional, and we were looking back 5 years into what was happening in our life at the time, and life goes on as you're involved in this very personal journey to, in our case, in my case, being a mother. You know, I mean, life was going on. I had a father in the hospital who had cancer and passed away during all of this, and just, you know, dogs dying and, you know, job losses and, I mean, all sorts of stuff going on. And in the middle of it is we're trying to create a family, you know. And so I think it was anybody could read it, even though it has a very strong fertility and hope message as far as that's concerned, and perhaps even the hope for getting through a fertility cancer. But I think also just someone who wants to read it as, hey, you know, we all feel, for lack of a better term, that we have a catastrophe of life going on in our own mind, and you think, how am I going to get through it? And sometimes hearing somebody else go through something helps, you know. So that's another
Absolutely.
Angle of it.
Absolutely. And I think everybody wants to really know the truth there, Susan. Did you really get drunk at your baby shower?
Oh, yes, I did. I did, both of them. It was so funny. I have pictures actually in the center of the book, if you were able to look at it before we got on this interview. There are pictures of both of the baby showers. Yes, indeed, I was drinking. So it was just kind of funny because my friends were just poking my belly all night going, you know, there's nothing in there. You can have another drink. So it
that
was a lot
hilarious.
Of fun.
Yeah, I just got the book yesterday, and I was out of town, and so I was catching up a little bit. But I just can't wait to dive into this book this weekend. It looks fun, a lot of humor in there, which I love in a book, and a good message. So I really I wish the best for the both of you and to Jordan and Peyton.
Thank you.
Superstars Perfect. There. And good luck on the book. I know you're having a book signing coming up soon. Are you both going to be at this book signing? And is it in Elmhurst?
Yes,
this weekend?
It's at Tannen's Wine Bar in Elmhurst from 1 to 3, and Heidi and I will both be there. Yep, so come
yep.
see us, grab a book and a glass of wine, could keep with the theme of the book, and don't get too drunk. But anyway, we figured it would be a cute venue to go ahead and do this, and so we'd be excited to see anybody who can come by.
Sure. Okay, that's Tannen's in Elmhurst.
Correct.
Saturday from 1 to 3. And they have a Facebook page, so you can check out their Facebook page. What's the name of that Facebook page?
I got drunk at my baby shower, and then it's hyphen book because it's just a group out there. But, yes, and we have a website, drunkbabyshower.com, and and Heidi tweets from Twitter a lot, and so we're just kind of trying to keep them out. Anything that we hear infertility message-wise, and there's some organizations like Resolve and Hope organizations for people who are needing other options to complete their family and fertility
yeah.
journeys. So we're just trying to keep connected with all that. So.
Yeah.
Come follow
us. Whether you are, you know, in favor of surrogacy, you know, there's some naysayers out there, but whether you're in favor of it or not, the book still has a great message of hope for any of those of you out there experiencing infertility. So so check it out. And thanks again to Heidi Thompson and Susan Bowen, co-authors of I Got Drunk at My Baby Shower, a successful surrogacy
so much,
story. Love
Thank
it.
You for having
thanks
us,
Thanks so
Sally.
Much for being on. Good luck to you guys. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
It's the Dolly McCarthy Show.
All right. You're on the Dolly McCarthy Show. Hey, is this Chuck Fleming?
Yes, it is. Thank
Chuck
you for
Fleming.
Having me.
He is from Brook Mall. We heard about that you're having a big party at Oakbrook Mall. We wanted to get invited, so we invited you on the show, Chuck.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to come on the show.
Chuck is the GM at Oakbrook Center, and there's a big holiday spectacular coming up tomorrow, right? Isn't that?
It is tomorrow, and it culminates a couple years worth of redevelopment and construction at the shopping center. The mall, as we all know, has been around for over 50 years. It's been a
50
destination.
Years? Really?
It's actually 51
idea.
Years.
Wow.
It is an iconic property. It's one of the premier shopping destinations in Chicago. And over the last couple years, we've done a facelift to modernize the common areas and to be a little bit more interactive with our customers.
I noticed that over the summer, all the construction going on, and then I saw parts that were finished. It really looks really, really nice. Great job on the renovation. It's one of my favorite places to shop. And I like all the new fountains you got going on there, too. And there's this open lawn.
Yeah, there's several new features that we're very proud to be opening up here. You know, you had mentioned that there's the new walkways, the pavers. We brought in all new landscape beds, trees, bushes, and, of course, our iconic flowers. We have new mall lighting. We have new signage for wayfinding. We've brought in Wi-Fi to the mall to make it available.
Well, Oakbrook Mall is in Oakbrook, Illinois, and you can all check it out. You could Google Oakbrook Mall. And, Chuck, we appreciate you being on the show. Do you have any treats to pass along to any of our listeners here that I could give away, any mall certificate or something to get people to come shopping? And join me for my holiday shopping. I love shopping over at the Oakbrook Mall. So
we'd love to have you here. We're excited about the grand opening tomorrow. And the grand opening tomorrow will be between 5:30 and 8:30, and there will be many opportunities for giveaways at that opening. Our grand opening is going to, like I say, start at 5:30. It's going to include a number of characters that will be walking around, activities for the kids. There's be collaborative arts and crafts for the kids alike, kids and parents alike.
Sounds great. Well, Chuck, we got to let you go, but we wanted to let you plug your grand opening. We know there's a lot of great businesses in there, some mom-pop shops and some great restaurants, and the Dolly McCarthy Show loves to support local businesses,
we'd love to see you out here.
So, got to let you go, but good luck with the holiday spectacular. I'm going to be at a charity event, so I'll be missing it. But hopefully next week, maybe the week after, we'll have a giveaway from the Oakbrook Mall to give to our listeners. Thanks for joining us Chuck. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
And now we have to end the show on a good note. I can't believe how fast this hour has gone by. And you know how we'd love to end the show on a good note, but before we do that, we are going to end it with our pal, Michelle Lynn Gust, who's an author and well-known speaker in our Good Inspiration segment. And today, Michelle's going to talk to us about preparing for the holiday season. So, and to remind us, Michelle sent to me a little note reminding everybody to be open to miracles. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning, Dolly.
Thanks for joining us today. I love this, little miracles. Let's talk about that.
Well, you know, I was thinking about it, that this is the time of the year, it's the holidays are upon us, and what more could we ask for than thinking about the miracles that could be ahead, but how do we be open to those? And so it's really important that people remember that, because we get caught up in so many things in the holidays, and they can be frustrating for people, but to remember that you never know what can happen. And I know there's people out there who don't think Santa Claus is a good idea, that it's not good to tell your children that sort of thing. But I believe, looking back on my own life, that has taught me so much about believing in miracles. And, you know, it's the little things that people do for each other. And granted, we should do those year-round, but there's something special about the holiday time. And so I just want to remind people, don't close yourself off. Remind yourself that you never know what can happen. And in the morning, every day, say, I'm open. I'm ready for the good things. And it's just like Dolly Show. And you never know what can happen. So even when you're caught in traffic, and I particularly think of how crazy it gets around Fox Valley, and it takes forever to to get into the mall and your Christmas music's playing, and don't let yourself get to that bah humbug. Say, you know, I'm open, I'm ready, bring on the miracles. And it's the, again, it's the little things. It doesn't have to be these big, enormous things that happen, but those little things in life, that's really what life is all about.
It sure is. You know, but I know some people out there listening might say, well, Michelle, Dolly, I don't have any money for the holiday. It's easier to be in that mood and that open, being open to that, those miracles, when you don't have these big, massive problems, you know. So what can you tell them?
Life is not all about money, and that's really hard. And it's really hard because around us, the media feeds that to us, and especially the Christmas stuff's already started, and I particularly think of those jewelry commercials, and not everybody's going to be getting a diamond necklace or diamond ring for Christmas, and it's not really about that anyway. It's about the thoughts. It's those little things that we do for each other. It means that sometimes, even when people open the door for you, that doesn't happen all the time. And being grateful for the fact that somebody smiles at you and says hi, or if you drop something somewhere, or you don't even realize you dropped something, and then somebody hands it to you. Life is about those connections with people. It's not just about how much money we spend on Christmas. I, for one, don't spend that much on Christmas. And the other thing is, if it's really about the gift giving, you can make things for people. And people really appreciate that. Mm-hmm. I think that's been one good thing I've seen come out of this economic downturn, is that people have realized that, wow, I don't have to spend a lot of money. I can make something for my loved ones. Mm-hmm. And sometimes usually they like it much better.
I love your message today, Michelle, and I'm going to transition into something worthwhile. Like you said, you don't have to have money. You can do the little things, being kind to people, smiling at people. And how about this? I hope you don't mind this, Michelle. I'm transitioning to this because I forgot to mention this earlier. How about taking part in the Snowflake Shuffle to support Tri-City Family Services? They're based out of St. Charles, right, Beth, or Geneva? Geneva! Sorry about that. And they're having the 5th annual 5K run and walk. Instead of, arranging the ornament party and then buying all that food and appetizers, why don't you arrange for all your girlfriends to be a part of the Snowflake Shuffle and make it a tradition? And that's, you're spending quality time around the holidays together, then maybe go out for hot chocolate or something like that, you know. But there is, registration is still available online at www.tricityfamilieservices.org. Check it out. I will be there. I'm gonna yell go. Everybody's gonna run. I'm gonna be there with the mayor of Geneva. It's gonna be a really great time. Michelle and Gus, thanks so much. Check out her Facebook and her website. Thanks again, Michelle, so much.
Thank you
for your contributions
to our
good inspiration segment.
It's about the memories. It's memories more than gifts.
Absolutely. That's a great. And on that note, we love to end the show on a good note. That's absolutely it. Thank you, Michelle. Stay positive, everybody.
Thank
you,
Dolly.
Everybody. Happy holidays. Be good to each other. I'll be back next week. We're going to do a Thanksgiving show next week. I hope you'll join us while you're cooking basting the turkey. Join us next week for another show with good guests, good laughs, and good news. And don't forget to like the Dolly McCarthy Show on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. I'm Dolly McCarthy. Listen in next week for another hour of the Dolly McCarthy Show. So long, everybody.
Wow! I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't.
Thanks for listening.
Wow! I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't.
Thanks for listening to the Dolly McCarthy Show.